1 Corinthians. Find 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and then we'll get right into the Bible study. Now, Father, we thank you again for this book as we open it. We recognize, dear Lord, the power of it, and yet to understand it is impossible without the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. Everything we need to know about ourselves, this day, the future, the end of the age, everything's found right here in this book, Lord, and we pray you'd help us put it together systematically to understand it, not to have pride or to think we know something in the sense of more than anyone else, but Lord, that we might be able to read the signs and know the time and to work more for you for the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I want to start reading tonight, and before I do that, let me kind of give you where we're at this particular time. If you remember, and I wondered why the Lord had let us stay so long in the book of Genesis, chapter 6, 7, 9, we spent a little bit of time, then 10, 11, spent a lot of time there, but I understand now, I understand more so, I believe, and this week, every morning I've got up and have been studying. There's so many things that God has run through my mind. I love that morning. That's reading that I don't try to do a lot of praying when I go to bed at night. I'm just too tired. But I love those early mornings and get up and or lay in bed sometimes and then get up and just let verses and things flow through your mind. Now, I really believe what I'm fixing to finish teaching on this thing, you're going to be blessed if you listen. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been looking at and trying to give you an idea how things started in the sense of getting to Genesis chapter 6 when God had destroyed this world because of sin, just mainly. Man's heart was wicked. And then we saw from there about 650 years God allowed from Adam's day until Noah's day. And then we saw that after that, he started over with Noah's family. But within like about 106 years, really no time at all, hardly, man had come worse than he was, at least equal to a worse than he was. And the reason I say that is because now we see a system started. And that system is working today. And I guarantee that not any of us will be able to read the system because our thinking has been a certain way. We know in the last days, but we can't explain why. We know Israel's there, but Israel's not the only reason that we're where we're at today. It's one of the signs. But there are some things happening right in our midst that God has let us see if we'll approach it right. And he's given us the Old Testament as examples to go and look at how God did. Just because we live in the age of grace and man's smarter don't mean God changes his ways.
That's right.
Now, he has made it better for us that we can trust Christ and not have to break a lamb or an animal to be sacrificed for our sin. Thank God for that. I'm so glad that Jesus Christ is our Lamb.
Amen.
And he died and paid the price of sin, and God was satisfied. He accepted his blood, and that blood is able to do the day just like anything that it could do in Christ's day or any day when it comes to being applied to a person's heart. But ladies and gentlemen, the system that started with Nimrod, we can't belittle that. We have to really look at it to understand this is a system. If you look from Adam's day to Noah's day, you don't see the system like you do now. Even from chapter 11 of Genesis all the way through our age into the tribulation period, right into the millennium reign. God uses the system to show us what's happening to get this earth ready in the tribulation period for the millennium reign. So you heard me say before that we had what was set forth in this era. We know it's Babel is the town where Nimrod was kind of the capital, I guess. And the word Babylon comes from that. And we know that Babylon and Babel means confusion. Now, when he started his way of life, politically and ecclesiastical, Satan knows that man, first of all, he's going to have to understand leadership and political systems for protection. He also knows built in man there is a religious side, and I believe God put that to start with for the purpose of at least tapping into to the work of God, and especially the gospel in our age, that there will be an avenue to reach people for Christ, and Satan has messed that up in most people's heart. Now they believe anything except who God is. And why we're where we are now, you're going to see that, I believe, with all my heart, because we laid the foundation. We've been there weeks. And I'm not going to be standing around Genesis 11 anymore, and 10, 11, but I want us to move from there and see, and we're not going to do a lot of Old Testament, but we want to see the parallel that's happening here. And sometimes you find that this system, the ecclesiastical system, we know the political system is the world system. We know that's where all nations are going to go together, thinking they can be much better, like Nimrod thought. We'll just have one people here, and we'll build this city, and we'll build this tower, and you know, and we'll do all these things as a people for our name's sake. And God says, no, you won't. If you do anything, you're going to do it for my name's sake, because it's not going to accomplish anything. And so what happened? He confused the tongues. Now, why did he do that? Why didn't he destroy them like he did in Noah's day? Because God had a plan and purpose. And when we see him confusing the tongues, he's doing something right then to them that he knows is going to ride all the way through to the millennium reign, bringing confusion to people. Because that's what it is, confusion. He started a confusion system. Not only is it confusion when it comes to the political system, it's confusion when it comes to the religious system. And we're right in the midst of that confusion right now. In fact, we're in it more now than it's ever been in the history of our nation. Because where we're at now, there's nothing wrong. We're living in an age today that we're, well, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I want us to lay a little principle of how God has said in his word that if we'll listen to his word and we'll stay at it and we'll prayerfully consider it and not look anything for self-gender, but just to know what God is doing for our age so that we can read whatever the sign is he wants us to read about life. And I'm finding out the sign is right before us. Most of the time it has to do with the church. And when we get through, you'll see that too. Now, look, we hear what Paul says in 1 Corinthians. We read these before. You know my heart, but I'm going to do some repeating in the New Testament for a few minutes. He says in chapter 10, in 1 Corinthians, if you look with me down about verse 5, he says, but with many of them, God was not well pleased. Now, he's going back, Paul's going back to the Old Testament, and he's bringing up some things about Israel and certain the wilderness, and he gives some warning. He said, this is what God did. And this is what God said about how Israel responded to him. He said now in verse 5, and with many of them, God was not well pleased. And we know that. Why? Can you tell me why you know God won't please with them? What did he do? What happened? They could have went into the land a lot quicker. But what happened? What did he make them do because of they wouldn't believe the record? They wouldn't believe what those spies said that time came back. He made them go through the wilderness for 40 years. And so here, he said, now, this you got to keep in mind, we're living in an age today that people say what God says don't mean anything. As a matter of fact, if you do away with God, you do away with his word. And if you do away with his word, you do away with God. They're not separable. God is his word. Amen. So we're living in an age today that we're for a number of years we've been doing away, that the world has been doing away with God's word. So no wonder we're in such a mess about who God is today. No wonder now that the world, and including in the church per se, and of course you got to understand, the church, the living church, born again people, and the church is the body of Christ. But did you not know that Satan also had an anti-bride? And that's the false church. That's the pseudo church. And Satan is working in the pseudo church today to promote his agenda, and we can't even tell the difference, Harley, because we don't know enough scripture about it. But there is a way to read this, folks. God has given us, and let's see what he says so we'll be on guard. God gives us in his word some record to be on guard so we'll be able to understand that God wants us to know the truth, but we can't go after it our own self. We have to ask him to help us get it, and we have to spend the time to study it. Now, he says here again in verse 5, but with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things were our examples. Isn't it amazing? Now, this happened 1,500 years probably or so before. But now, Paul said, what happened back there, God gave them, even those years ago, an example for us to understand. Now, they didn't have the pattern, or they didn't have the reality of the tabernacle and other things that God gave them later, like we do in Jesus Christ. So they had to do what God said at that time faithfully, for God to move on and they'd be where they ought to be before the Lord. And so he's telling us now, these things were examples to intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as is written, the people sat down and eat to drink and rose up, neither he let them commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day, 3,000 and 23,000 or 20,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed in about of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmur, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Then now, he looked in verse 11. Once he named some things that God did, that's very obvious that we can see if we read it. Then he says, now all these things happen unto them. How? Why? For examples. You want to see how God works with sin? Look. And if it's not under the blood of Jesus Christ, he has not changed his mind about it. Under the blood of Jesus Christ, what happens there? He's paid the sin debt for that so that you and I can go free. But sin is still sin in God's vocabulary ever since it was came into existence. And it did come into existence one day through the creation. And so these are examples that are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world come. Wherefore let him thinketh he stand, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. So what has happened? Satan created a system without God. Now you saw Satan working in 1,650 years in Adam and Noah's day. He was working because the scripture says their heart was wicked. If you look at what God said before he destroyed the earth in Genesis chapter 6, he made the statement. He said, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that every imagination of their thoughts, of the thoughts of his heart, was only evil continually. It never stopped. It got worse and worse and worse and worse. And by the way, that system is doing the same thing today. God said in our day, you'll wax worse and worse and worse. It doesn't stop. It continually gets worse. And the only thing can happen one day, God's got to destroy that system. Because it's never going to override him, overcome him. But in the age that he's working purposely, his planning purpose out, you see in the two systems running together. And we see God open up his system, as we know as a system, politically, ecclesiastic, and otherwise, in Genesis chapter 12, when he called Abram out, got him out of his kindred, got him away from the other mess that they were in, so he could start with them a new system, a blessed system. That's what he called it. Is he blessed them, and he blessed those nations that blessed them. And from there, he had an opposite side of what happened in Nimrod's day. Nimrod had started a political, ecclesiastical system that was anti-God. And what happened, the church is an anti-church. And what's happened in that is for us to see there's a pseudo-church, and sometimes it's right in the midst of the real church. And you can't tell the difference much. And what happens, it starts a little bit, and then it gets worse. And by the time it gets so bad, people had accepted what is. I mean, who'd ever thought anybody who'd say they were saved would say that God didn't mean what he said about something being an abomination? And we got people today who would tell you, that don't mean that today. Well, why not? God said it. Why not? Abortion. Why does all these things happen? One reason is, and I'll jump in here and come in later. One reason is because in this last century, things changed more than any other time since Christ was here. And ladies and gentlemen, we live in a time to see it change more. Did you know a lot of our problems today, hear me, I don't care what you look at, political, ecclesiastical, otherwise, a lot of our problems today happen because simply, first of all, the scriptures were taken out of people's hands. And when you take God's word out, you're taking God out. And the reason God now religiously people say they've been put back in, but hey, there's a cap on it. It won't like it was. This past Friday night was my 55th class reunion, and they called me and asked me if I would do a tribute to those who have died in my class. We had about, I think we had 28 that had died. And so I did that. And we was talking about Mrs. Bailey. You've heard me talk about her many times. A great Christian lady. I really wished that she was alive today so I could go to her. There's something about those people in your life you just don't get over. She didn't lead me to the Lord, but she sure set an example when I was in her class, the fourth and the sixth grade. And not at the same time, by the way. But she was a teacher of fourth grade. She taught also the sixth grade, and I was in her class. A great lady. And she gave me my first Bible. And what she did in the public school, and you heard me say, I'm telling you, folks, that wasn't too long ago. You can't do that today. She was a public school teacher who had Bible reading every morning in her class in a little corner that she made as a little garden. And we'd go and read, and that year you had so many chapters you read in the morning, and you had so many chapters that you read at home, and if you read through the whole Bible in the school year, she gave you a whole Bible with your name on it, a King James Bible. And I still have it. It's tore all to pieces now because I've used it so much, but I still have it. It's a treasure to me even today, even though a lot of the leaves and everything else are tore out because of using it in the past. But what I'm saying is there was a time the Word of God was powerful because it was in people's hands and in people's heart. But ladies and gentlemen, there's generations being raised up now don't even know what the Word of God is. No wonder they don't know who the true and living God is. And it ain't going to get no better until Jesus comes. Now, but there's some things we can read the signs. We can read these things with God's help. And I hope you'll listen. And when I get through next week, we'll get in some real good stuff. Now, the Babylonian system was man's system and man's God, which is himself. And, of course, Nimrod, since you study his life, Nimrod was made in type of God himself. I don't want to get into the story of that now, but it's interesting to read something about him and how his mother and how she was, even the fact that he had a son and he died for, I think, based on recollecting, it's been a while when I studied that, had a son that he died before Nimrod was born. And when the son was born, the people began so great that they thought it was Nimrod who came back as some super type of person. And they just give him gold clout and everything. Man will make a god out of anything. And when they do, it seems like it just goes on forever that it's real and deny the living God. So God's original system was from Adam to Noah. And then we see God's blessed system after Nimrod started the system that they had to do with man. And, of course, we know today it's humanism. That's one word for it in our particular day. God's society is influenced by the Holy Spirit. The man's society that Nimrod started is influenced by Satan. But Satan is a powerful being. We'll see in a few minutes that he can present himself as a roaring lion, or he can come like an angel of light. He's deceptive, and he's got a lot of folks deceived today. He's got a lot of Christians deceived, and he's got a lot of folks who are deceived thinking they're Christians. They're not Christians at all. Because, ladies and gentlemen, I don't understand this. I know I'm old school. I don't know how in the world a person in this world can say they believe that Jesus Christ is their Savior and trust him as their Savior and yet turn right around and not do what he says after they're saved. God tells us that's not the way it works. You have to watch for those things. If not, someone will fill your heart with something to believe. If not careful, it won't be thus saith the Lord. Someone may say it was, but you've got to know the difference between the pseudo and those who stand for that which is true. So Genesis 6 brought forth the flood. Then we see in 11, God confused the tongues. And this is about 106 years after the flood. Then in Genesis 12, we see God started the blessed system about 21 years later. Amazing, between chapter 10 and 11, about 120 years plus. And then God separated Adam from his family and friends so he could start his blessed system for all ages. Now turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Now here's what I want you to notice, that God has not left us ignorant. That's what Paul is saying in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. He said, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. Now there's sometimes Satan will get advantage on people as a roaring lion. But if he can't get you there, on the other side, he'll get advantage of his angel of light. That means that you and I, in our own energy, cannot tell him the difference between a true angel of light and a false angel of light. We got to have a standard to go by. And you know what our standard is? Tell us. The Bible. And how many times you've heard me say that? So I get tired of hearing that. Well, you might as well close your ears then. Because this is our standard, folks. You never know who may be here sometimes. We may hear it 500 times. Well, the 501 time may be the first time the first person hears it, or some people hear it. And so again, he says that lest Satan should get advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. God says the child of God is not ignorant of his devices. In other words, there's the potential you don't have to be ignorant. Now, he didn't mean that if you're saved and that you just say, well, God's going to give it to me, I want to have a study. No. He said, you're not ignorant. I've left this book for you, and you're not ignorant of his devices because I've left the book here. Now, it's not going to come automatically, son, but if you'll study it, I'll show it to you, and I'll help you line it up systematically, and you'll see it, and the world will laugh at you and mock you and declare that you're wrong, and because people look at multitudes rather than God uses a few, they think the multitudes are right. Ladies and gentlemen, you can line up with Jesus Christ in his day, and you'll find out the multitudes were wrong, but Jesus and his few were right. And then it won't long, because they were people who would listen to the word of God. They turned the world upside down. By those who were unsaved said that anyhow. And then Satan worked very hard to integrate this system that he had Nimrod back in. See, that system can change with the times as long as the political side and the ecclesiastical side are working. Political side has to do with the government of the world. It's not just one country. The system is not one country. It's many countries. It's a system of the world. And the religion itself, the ecclesiastical system, is not just one religion. It's religious through the core. And as long as anybody, you know, accepts the pseudo-information and not the Bible, they fit right in. So here, he tells us we're not ignorant of devices. Look in Acts chapter 20 and verse 27 with me. The Apostle Paul said this, and I love this, because he said in Acts chapter 20, in verse 26 says, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. Why would he say that? He said, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is an important thing. This book is written that we might know the whole counsel of God and put it together. So I'm seeing that God said the information is there. And I've got it together. If you really will let me guide you through this, it just won't be New Testament or just Old Testament, it's both, you'll see a systematic parallel line happening, and you'll be able to read the times you're living in now from that, because it'll be manifested, and we'll see that as we get to it. And then look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 with me. Just a few verses to get us going and how that... God works. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if you look down in verse 2, notice verse 1 says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Watch verse 2. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. How in the world could a person handle the word of God deceitfully? By making it say something that's not? By using it for a tool to get rich rather than to get people saved. It's a lot of ways it's had. Anything that's not biblically, and when, ladies and gentlemen, one thing I've found this out for sure, the Holy Spirit came for the purpose to exalt Jesus Christ, not us. Now, we can feel good, and we can be full of the Holy Spirit, but I'll tell you, that's what gets me, because if I'm full of the Holy Spirit, and you may see it somehow or another because I have joy here, they're going to see it when you get in that world, because you can't leave here full of the Holy Spirit without trying to win somebody to Christ. Amen. Because you realize that's the only hope they got. And that is the job of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that in John 14 and John 16. It is the Holy Spirit's job to exalt Christ in this world so that people can see him as the way of life. Notice here, but have denounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man conscious in the sight of God. In other words, Paul said, we're not trying to fool people by twisting God's word. He was point and plain, but he was lovable. He wasn't arrogant. Now, sometimes he got some places where some people were arrogant to him, and he had to call some demons out, some other things at that time. In Galatians chapter 1, I also see that Paul said this in verse 10 and 11. Galatians chapter 1, he said, "For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." There's a lot of pleasing people nowadays. I hear people say, "Oh, if you do this or that, they won't come back." You ever heard that? When people get tired, they say, hearing this blood stuff all the time. Well, if you're going to get to heaven, you're going to be washed in it. You'll not get there. That's all there is to it. Now, I'm not talking about just any blood. I'm talking the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And Paul said, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Then I look also, and I thought so, and showed that Paul proves that, because we just looked at last week in 2 Timothy, where Paul, in chapter 4, talked about preaching the word. He said, "I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead and appear in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." Ladies and gentlemen, an amazing thing. You know, I don't find many people nowadays, especially on a large scale. Thank God for, there's some grass. I'd rather hear a man preach Jesus Christ and just give him all the glory in the world and can't even talk plain than somebody who just talks around Christ everything and use it for building some big kingdom somewhere or another and try to satisfy and please people's hearts. God needs us to be sure we understand the plan of salvation, and when we have an opportunity or create an opportunity in turn to get that plan out, because that's the only way a person is going to get saved. And there's people who preach to thousands every week but never give the plan of salvation. Never solicit someone to get saved. And you can know someone as good as I do. And so he goes on. He said, "Preach the word, be instant, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with long-suffering, for the time will come." Why do you need this? "For the time will come when they'll not endure sound doctrine." We're living there, folks. We're living right in the midst of that now. And he said, this is what's needed, because that's the way people are going to be. Then he goes on and he says, "But after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." Now, let me ask you something. Why do you think a person have to teach to heap someone to them with itching ears? You think you'd get the crowd if you begin to, every Sunday, begin to bring Christ in and try to teach the man he need to be born again, he's going to hell? You think if some of these people would preach about 4 or 5 good old-fashioned fire and hell, fire and brimstone message about hell, you'd find that they'd say, "No, we don't need that." Why? We've already come so far, they really believe that, because we've taken God and the Word out of our lives in the past. And we got generations coming up now who don't even know who God is. And by the way, there's going to be a time, if it keeps going, Satan is mastermind taking the Word of God out of people's hands, because the pseudo-God is not the real God. And if he can get the Word of God out of one's hands, then what's going to happen? They're not going to know who the true God is. They're not going to have no standard of who he is. The only thing they're going to have is a standard of the world, and the standard of the world is wrong. Now, I'm sure there's thousands that would probably say I'm wrong for saying that. But the standard of the world is wrong. It's God's Word that's right. And we have to understand that's our standard. And so here, he talks on. He said, "And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables." Watch, he said, "endure affliction," and so forth. Now, we're seeing that happen today, but why? Because this system that started back in Nimrod's day, in Genesis chapter 11, that system is rampaged today in our lives. And it's so lapped over, the ecclesiastical system is so lapped over into God's system of the church, and it's manifesting an anti-Christ. That's the spirit of anti-Christ. We get to 1 John, talked about that. And what it is, they're teaching things about Christ and his blood, but then, I better wait till I get to that, though. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. See, I'm thrilled. This morning, I told the Lord this morning, I'd just love to be somewhere right then and preach, because I could preach without notes then. And now it's 12 hours later, I need my notes. It's just gone. But this morning, man alive, I just rejoice over the fact that the Lord showed me what has been happening. You know, I don't guess you understand that. There's a barren witness of God to your heart through this book that no one knows unless you study this book. There's a barren witness of that. And so, look away in 1 Peter chapter 1. I mean chapter 5. Let's see what time it is. We got to quit. I thought I'd finish this foundation and then we'll go on in something next week. Let's leave what Peter had to say in chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 through 10. He said, be sober. He first said, cast your cares upon him, for he is careful. Watch in verse 8. Be sober. Well, a lot of folks need to hear that. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who had called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you watch. He said, you're going to find that this message about Christ is going to bring resistance. He said, but after a while you suffer, a little while, he said, he'll make you perfect, established, strengthened, settled you. That's the roaring lion. Now, how would Christ come as a roaring lion? It could be a tragedy, and he'd come and say, you see, yeah, I don't really love you. This thing about God's not, you know, if God really loved you, that wouldn't happen. You know that, you know, if there's a true God, God wouldn't let your marriage get tore up like that. If it's a true God, you wouldn't have a child of rebellion. If he's a true, Satan comes as a roaring lion, like he's got the answer, and we're the cause of it. But that don't work on people who stay in the Bible. Amen. It just don't, Brother Money. I tell you, you'll find there's a defense there, and you start using the armor of God. Now, if you will, turn with me over, and let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I believe that's it. If not, we'll find it. Yeah, this is it. 2 Corinthians, we'll quit tonight after this. Chapter 11, verse 13, 14, 15. Now, that's the side of a roaring lion. He comes as a roaring lion. Maybe sometimes he even causes some things to happen. We don't even know it. He's a roaring lion, like he's ferocious. And I'll tell you another way. You stand for something you know is biblical. We stand on Jesus Christ's name, a blessed name, a powerful name. And yet we're seeing today, folks, that Jesus Christ's name has been thrown out, and they'll throw you out too if you use it. And by the way, it's not just happening way yonder. And it's going to get worse. And every once in a while you hear someone say, but we're going to get it back in. I'll be honest with you. When Satan has a place to the point that he runs like he can run and there's no strings attached on him, then God's going to have to come back and put strings on him. If the Word of God cannot put a string on him by using in God's people's lies and being used by God's people using his word, then the living word's got to come back and he'll restrain him. He'll put him in the bottomless pit. And he'll be there until God finishes everything. Then he's going to put him in the lake of fire. But here's what he says here. He says, for such are... He's talking to the church at Corinth. And he's warning them about God is a jealous God. And he's talking about false teachers. And he told him, he said, for such are the false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we've got some of those today. But there's people in this world who think some of these men who are doing that, you say, preach, that's judging. No, I'm just lining scripture up. Some of these men are doing that. They're really loved by a lot of folks. I wish they really loved the Lord. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I can't believe it. If God would ever give me a chance, he won't, I know. But if he ever give me the chance to speak to 5,000 people, I'd have to tell them about Jesus Christ and have hell in the bed. Amen. And by the way, I've got to say this about Billy Graham. Billy Graham, all his life, he did do that. His every message just by he preached was to win people to Christ. Tell them about Christ. The cross in Christ. The cross in Christ was his message. We don't have that today. Listen. Just listen. We got some some men in locally in grassroots at the time, you hear them, they're preaching that and thank the Lord. There's a few hearing that. But in the mass media, it's not there. Why? Because God has been removed from the mass media. God, the true living God has not been worshipped like he wants to be worshipped today. If it is, Jesus Christ would be right in the center of it. Be right in the center of it. Know what he said. For such a false, deceitful workers transform themselves into the apostles of Christ, and no more for Satan himself is translated into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as they minister of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me ask you. He didn't say these people were teaching, accused of teaching things that are wrong. In fact, they're saying, as far as they can see, it looked right. Isn't that amazing? I mean, there's people who would stand with them that wouldn't even stand with you and I. There's people who stand with them, and whoever they made them can be anybody that don't believe in Jesus Christ and that he's more so than a sugar daddy in heaven. Jesus Christ is more than a sugar daddy in heaven. I'm telling you that. He's Savior. And there's people who stand with those where sometimes those who have believed in Jesus Christ will not stand with us. Why? Because they think that you can get too straight scripturally. You can say you believe too straight. And I hear this all the time. When you get too straight, nobody can get along with you. You know the amazing thing about this? I can get along with anybody who can get around that book. I love to get around this book. I love to talk about it. And so we don't agree on everything, but what I tell you this, if I can't agree with you on something, you can't agree with me on something. One thing for sure, I'll study a lot more because I can't see it until God lets me see what I need to see. That's what happens when you really love the Lord, love the Bible. You get in it and you've tried to find an answer, at least for God to satisfy your soul and to be what God would have us to do at that time. So Satan can be like a roaring lion, but he'd also be like an angel of light. And then I want to go to 2 Thessalonians. I'm going to go to that next week. And then with what I'm doing, I'm laying the foundation now of what Paul is saying and what the New Testament is saying, what Peter is saying, how we are to look back at what God has done already. And we've been in chapter 10 and 11 for a number of weeks. We know much about that tower in Babylon. We also know now, just a couple weeks ago, that Babylon is confusion. So whatever comes out of that mess is confusion. Everything that comes out of is confusion. What comes out of God's word is straight and narrow, right? So when we lay these two together, it's the word of God that will shine light on the confusion. So what happens? Confusion comes because there are things today don't really know who true God is. They're reading something they call the Bible. It's not in the Bible. Confusion comes because that which is truth has been meddled with. It's been tampered with. What? So you read it better. No. What has happened, ladies and gentlemen, so that you'll be confused. Now, what will happen is if you've got 20 different translations and you're sitting in here today and I start reading from my translation, or you've got 320, actually one translation as far as the English language is concerned, the rest of it's all transliterated or copied, recopied somehow or another. What happens is there's confusion. Because you'd be saying, my Bible don't say that. Why don't my Bible say that? We don't even recognize it. It don't say that. And confusion comes in. And then you say, well, wait a minute, it's written better. But this word means, but my Bible says this word means this. You see, if anybody's going to write anything, they're going to write and find words that means what they want. Yeah, right. That's the reason. If I didn't believe in things abomination, I'd find everything I could that shaded abomination to make it say what I wanted to say. Yeah. Father, I want to thank you tonight. Lord, bless this place because the Word of God has been taught. It's not, I'm not a great teacher. Dear God, you know I have to study hard to get what I get. It don't come to me easy. But Lord, one thing's for sure, once I get it, it's there. And dear Father, I pray you'd bless. We have 2 of 50 or 500. Bless, let us in the next few weeks look at these two parallels. And we're going to get into the book of Revelation. We're going to see how it works. We're going to see what Paul said in 2 Thessalonians about the falling away. It's an amazing thing, Lord. Unsaved people can't fall away. They never had anything to fall away from. So the falling away has to be that which is God's people or the church or someone who is seen to be playing and practicing what God gave the church But it's camouflage. It's pseudo. It's the ecclesiastical system that Satan started in Nimrod's day. And it's deceptive and trying its best to get people away from God. The Lord, one day the political system and that system in the book of Revelation are going to go together. And then the political system will destroy the religious system. We see that in typology of the woman and the church, the harlot church. It amazes me that's another thing. We've got to look at some words. God called that church the harlot church. That means it looks real, but it's not. God, please help us. Mainly, you be exalted. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.